Speaking of Julio.
Hope.
Somebody got broke off a big Julio. Chunk of change. I think Wu-Tang Clan said it a long time ago. Cash rules everything around me. Straight, cash rules everything around Julio right now.
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash. 5 years. $71 million. 47 of it guaranteed.
Highest paid.
Highest paid. More than anything, highest. You know what? I really like the way Julio handled this the entire time. It would have been real easy to be disgruntled. I want to be paid. Nothing but class coming out of Julio.
Absolutely, and I think this is a blueprint for future athletes on how to handle your business. You know, you understand you go into a contract year and you want to get the deal done and you feel like maybe you got to force the hand a little
bit. Sorry, I'm watching the highlights behind you.
By sitting out and by taking that disgruntled approach, because, you know, what happens if you get into week two and you tear your Achilles and then all of a sudden your negotiating power is gone?
Did you have to say Achilles? Like, really? I'm sitting right next to you, man.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. That's how we got you so cheap. You know, I understand that mentality. You got to try to get your money while it's good. But I think what you earn in what is ultimately going to be equity for your entire career, for beyond your career, because, you know, this is a franchise that will remember that you were there when they needed you. Yep. And you weren't taking the selfish route. You were the team player. I think that goes so much further than just, hey, I'm going to sit out and try to get a paycheck.
Jay, you hit it right on the head. That's exactly what I was thinking. Is he set a precedent, not just around the league, but especially for this organization, for a guy of his caliber, a guy who has played so much ball and been so productive, that you just go out and do what you're supposed to do, and this organization will take care of you. They understand that. They saw it. He came with training camp in shape. He came with the attitude of, it's all about the team. Mm-hmm. And that makes the guys – up in the, you know, the guys with the suits on and say, all right, this guy is about this team. Right. He is all about getting better. And I think it sets a precedent for future situations for guys to come up and say, all right, this is how a franchise guy like Julio handled it. And all I got to do is put forth the effort on the field and put out a good product, and I'll get rewarded for it. And Julio did that.
As a fan, I don't think that this has been talked about enough. You know, everybody was talking about Dez Bryant when Dez Bryant was holding out and then he got his deal. It's like, this is one of those situations where, like, it's so refreshing to see somebody just show up for work, go about his business, and ultimately get rewarded for it. And I think that you can't overstate this about how to go about things the right way. Mm-hmm. And I really wish that this was something that was getting a little bit more attention across the nation, because, I mean, it's so rare to see this in the age of the diva wide receiver and the diva athlete that, you know, somebody is just like, you know what, I don't really – care.
And here's the thing, Julio's the opposite of that. When you think of guys off the field, you think about the issues that Dez probably that he had, and you look at your guy, you say, we won't have those issues. We know that. We know what type of person he is,
right?
And we know when he comes to work, he's going to come to work, and when he leaves, he's still going to be that same guy.
You know, and the thing to kind of jump on Jay's back there and talk about the point of, you know, the diva wide receiver. I've always been a guy that said, go get your money, because this is a league that 2.5 years is typically the shelf
right out.
You come in, you get paid, and you're out of here. But when you're somebody like Julio, you know you're going to be around this league for a long time. It would have been easy for him to be selfish and say, hey, I want as much as you're going to give me. Now, 47.5 guaranteed is a lot of money for a wide receiver, but he's earned every cent of it. For everybody that questions Julio, and there are people crazy out there that question, can he be that guy? He's one of the two or three best receivers in the NFL, and there's no question.
And he had 1 year where he was injured, but then I remember in the same game he was injured, he was playing another whole quarter and a half with a broken toe
and stuff.
And
that's the thing that drives me nuts about his detractors is people will say, well, you know, he's going to be out for at least 4 games because he's always injured. You want to know why he gets hurt? Is it because he plays so freaking hard every week?
You remember San Diego a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
I'm on the field. He catches a pass and gets hit. And if my hands aren't quite as big as Julio, and literally splits his hand in between the ring finger and the middle finger. He was out for about, I don't know, 10 plays, taped back up, and you could see he couldn't hardly move his hand, yet he's still out there making catches against the Chargers.
And that's the thing is you know, you can hit me with that argument about he gets injured and all this other stuff. I don't pay any attention to it. Because this is a guy who goes out, he plays hard. Injuries are part of the game. It's going to happen. But we've seen that he's going to be that guy in the big games. You remember the NFC Championship game, the way he took over that first half. that's the kind of player he is. You get back into that situation, that's the kind of player he's always going to be, injured or not. And he's just an absolute competitor, and I think he's great.
Well, competition, he's awesome. Yeah, he's good. Awesome. Competition will continue this week. Preseason game number 3, Jay.
Yeah.
Preseason game number 4 coming up. You've got the Baltimore Ravens coming to town. More importantly, it's cut down from 75 to 53. Falcons already made the moves to get down to 75. Not really any surprises of the guys that were cut there, but there are a lot of bubble players that are fighting. We talked about the O-line fighting for roster spots this week.
There are going to be some familiar names, I think, when all is said and done and the dust settles that end Absolutely. Up out on the market. And, yeah. and it's crazy the way things have worked out, but that's just kind of the nature of coming in with a new coach and a new philosophy and all those different things. And the competition level that he has created in everyday things, not just in practice, but in the meeting rooms, in right. the lunchroom. I mean, geez, there's guys like racing each other to the lunch line. There's not. But, I mean, that's the way it feels. It's like every single thing that they do is a competition. And I think that's ultimately going to bear out here in the next few days. And we're going to see kind of who they felt was good enough through that.
And the great thing about competition and the great thing that he brings to this organization and also guys who plan for him is because you're competing so hard to make this individual team, mm-hmm. you're going to compete so hard that 31 other teams are also going to catch notice and say, all right, this is a guy we want on our team. Yeah. This is a guy I saw for 4 weeks put it on the line, right. and each week he flashed for me. And that's what you want. You want to be able to flash on film that guys say, all right, I saw him versus so-and-so, and he made a play, and he's got 2-3 guys in front of him, but he's still out there fighting his tail off. Those are guys who you find out get on another team when they really take off. And a lot of times it's not their fault. They should be on the team, but just depth-wise, because guys have been around for a while, right. they just, you know, catching the numbers game. But this is a time for guys in the fourth game to really put their imprint on. If I'm not going to be here, I'm definitely going to be somewhere else.
And how many of those guys are going to really come down to Keith Armstrong?
Oh,
I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys whose fate is decided by Keith Armstrong.
Yeah, you're right about it.
Just the way it goes for those last, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys.
Well, I think you and I both have a man crush on Allen Bradford. He's a guy, yeah. I don't think he's on the bubble. I'm, as a matter of fact, pencil him in. He's one of the guys that will dress on Sunday.
Has to be. Man. He's one of those guys who's flashes. Every game you watch him on the special team, you see 53. He's down there first or second with him and Weems, and they're making a play. If he's not making it, then Weems make it. I mean it's just one of those things. You see him around, and he plays linebacker too. I mean, I saw him do an interview, and he talked about, I just love the opportunity to be out here to play.
Yeah.
And that tells you right there, he enjoys this experience. He understands where he's at, mm-hmm. and he's trying to make the most of it.
You know, there were a couple of cap casualties already in the NFL. I don't even want to say cap casualties. Fred Jackson cut. This guy has been a veteran running back, really good for the Buffalo Bills. You just see people around the league.
I got a buddy of mine, Tim Jennings, in Chicago. 2-time Pro Bowler. It's just, you know, just the same thing.
That's the way it goes. I mean, and to see those guys be part of the first round of cuts mm-hmm. is so rare,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Normally 90 to 75, you can pretty much pick out on any roster and say, this guy's not going to be here. I'm glad I don't have to be in the office this week and try to cut. Because it's heartbreak. The good thing, though, is there will be players brought back on the practice squad if they clear waivers. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about some of the bubble guys right now that we all think could make it or could be some guys there. Jay, I'll start with you. Of course, you want to go to the offensive line.
I'm going to go with the offensive line. And everybody's going to be like, who is this guy? Nobody knows him. Pierce Burton, offensive lineman, has, believe it or not, our good friends over at ProFootballFocus.com, he's in the top 5 among Falcons with preseason grades through 3 games. I mean, that's impressive.
That's
enough.
Impressive stat that you got there. I mean, that's pretty cool.
It is.
I like that.
It is. Because his company are guys like Schofield and Claiborne and guys who we know
right.
have had really good preseasons. So here's a guy who comes in and you think he's just a warm body for camp. Well, he's graded out really, really well as far as Pro Football Focus is concerned. You want to have that developmental depth on the mm-hmm. offensive line. I think he's got as good a shot as anybody to make the team. I'd like to see – I'm going to focus on him a little bit this Thursday night, see what he's made of. But, I mean, all indication is that he's having a pretty good preseason, and who knew?
Yeah, and it's it's just weird. You see those guys who are right on the edge, and they're playing well. They're doing a good job. And for me, like I always mention, you got guys who are flashing. And Tyler Starr is a guy from everybody saw him last year on Hard Knocks. And he's one of those guys who's in a position where they have a lot of depth. They have a lot of guys at this particular position. But I've seen him flash a few times watching the games, and you wonder, is he starting to turn the corner? Is he starting to really understand, hey, I really belong here, and I should deserve a spot?
What was he really good at in college? It was getting after the quarterback. What does Dan Quinn want out of his defensive lineman? Get after the quarterback. By the way, is my mother the only one that had a crush on him during Hard Knocks? Anybody else's family? No, just me? No.
My mother, it was Devontae Freeman. She loves Devontae.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
That was the crush.
I got the call every week. Are you sitting next to the guy with the long hair? Could you tell? So one day, Tyler was sitting right behind me. I turned around. I said, dude, this is embarrassing. I said, my mom's got a crush on you. And he just started laughing. What else am I supposed to
do?
Say?
A little FaceTime with your mom? So
No.
You didn't go that far, huh?
Because my mom is fairly embarrassing. So. Thanks, but no thanks. My guy that's on the bubble, and I think a lot of people around here that have been paying attention, really like Nick Williams.
Oh, man.
And the question has been, will the Falcons seven wide receivers? Weems is on the team. Hester's on the team. Hankerson, Hardy, White, Julio. That's six guys that are guaranteed on this football team. There's no way any of those guys aren't here. Does Nick Williams end up making the team as a seventh? I think that would almost be unprecedented in the NFL, but here's the scary part. If you do release him, there's no way he makes it back here on the practice squad because there's other teams that need him at receiver.
That's so true, and I was talking about this earlier about with somebody else who thought that Nick Williams could be a guy that could make the roster, and it really becomes a numbers game there. You've really got to make those decisions. I don't think that him backing up into Hester on that kick return helps him a lot. If you're like, these are the kinds of things you got to split hairs on some of these things, and you go out and you draft a Justin Hardy, you sign Hankerson, who's going to be part of the offense. You've got Devin Hester. You're not going to get rid of Eric Weems because he's the best special teamer you've got. So it really does become a numbers game, and it comes down to, can he participate in special teams? There's one ball, and as Terry Rubisky says, if your name's not Roddy or Julio, get on special teams. And if Nick Williams isn't the guy who Keith Armstrong ultimately thinks he could be for the special teams units, he becomes a casualty, I say.
And what's so sad about it is because he's such a versatile player. We've seen him play so many different positions. We've seen him outside. We've seen him inside. We've seen him battle with guys, especially for the ball in the air. And then we see him on special teams. We've seen him, you talk about the issue with, he had with Hester, and you're never supposed to back up if you're that guy. But this is a guy who wants it. This is a guy who's hungry. He's not afraid of the moment. You got Hester, who's,
the greatest Hall of all time.
Famer. He's back there, and he wants the ball as bad as Hester. It's hard to fault a guy like that, and it's hard to, like you mentioned, it's going to be hard to be in that front office up there and say, all right, Nick Williams, you've done a great job for us, but numbers caught you up. Right. And he's done so well. He's fought so hard. And as a player, I remember those moments is you had all offseason. You came into mini camp, OTAs, training camp. You've worked your butt off to get to this point, and it doesn't work out. And I'm not saying this is going to happen for Nick, but I'm just saying this is a situation where you put so much into it, and you just hope it continues. And like you mentioned, there's no way he can stay on somebody's practice squad because of the film that he's put on. That's what we talk about. Guys who are flashing, doing big things, he's been one of those players.
And that's maybe the thing that saves him is that if he hits that market, he's not going to be there. So you keep him around. This isn't like an unprecedented thing. We've kept, six, seven wide receivers in the past before. I remember Tim Tune, we had him for a little while, and he, unfortunately got injured the first practice of the regular season. But you had a situation where you kept a lot of wide receivers. The thing is where does that number come off of at another
somewhere
position
else,
group?
Right. No doubt.
Because that number counts somewhere. So I think that been pointed out, I think very clearly on this panel, is that it's a tough decision, and we're glad we're not part of it.
Yeah, this is where the business side, and I love to stress to fans, the business side of this is tough.
Yeah.
We get to know these players. We travel with them, get to hang out with them, and all of a sudden you see a guy that's here on a Thursday, and then Saturday he's not here any longer. And you have to remember, these are a lot of them, I say kids, they're in their 20s. This is their first real job, and they're trying to earn themselves a living. And unfortunately, it does come to an end. But with all the guys we just mentioned, they've all put, good tape together in this preseason. If they don't make it here, they're going to make it somewhere else. Another guy that's going to be fighting, trying to put some tape down this week, Sean Renfrey. TJ Yates got the majority of the snaps a week ago. I know Matt was in there for a little bit. What does Sean have to do? Because I'm going to assume Rex Grossman's going to get some snaps as well.
I'm going to pass this one to DJ.
You know, right to the QB.
Right to the QB.
Here's the thing. I'm going to start with TJ. TJ had a lot of snaps in the last game versus Miami. But for me, when I look at the overall part of that game, I don't think he hurt himself, but I also don't believe he did anything to really help himself. Nothing really stood out, and there were still times where he was inconsistent. Then there were times where he had some balls. He was like, whew, that looked good. That was a big-time throw. And when you go to Sean, he's going to get his chance to get out there, and I think he's going to get majority of the snaps, just like TJ played almost three quarters. You know, he's going to have time to show them what he's really about. And for me, Sean has to go out. He has to put together some drives. He has to consistently show that he can run this offense, make some checks, get them out of bad plays into good plays, and then drive them down to get scores, get touchdowns, get field goals, because ultimately that's what the game's about. And if he can do that and not turn the football over, be consistent in what he's doing, I think he has a great chance of being that other guy. And I really believe this is all about Sean and Rex right now and their pecking order. I believe you really didn't bring Rex in here for a 1 week to play, you know, a quarter of football and you cut him. Sean has to go out and say, all right, this is why you should choose me over another guy. And he has to go out and prove it. But the biggest thing is he has to put together some key drives. He has to put them in the end zone and show them that he can. He is ready to run this offense.
Remember a year ago, TJ did that in Jacksonville. Yeah. And suddenly he went out and he looked like he looked like Steve Barkowski. He was throwing the ball everywhere, and that's how he made a football.
Yeah.
And I was watching Rex Grossman warm up Devin Hester this last game, and, you know, my God, can he whip a ball? Mm-hmm. I mean, he can really put some spin on it. We've heard it from a couple of different players. They were really impressed with his arm strength. You know, he understands the system. He's been in the system before. I think it's a mountain for Renfrey to climb, even though he's had some really good tape that he's put together over the last couple of years.
Right.
It's just a crowded position, and I think in this case, you might just see veterans kind of win out.
And that's where it's tough for guys. You talk crowded positions. We've mentioned the receivers. We've mentioned defensive line. There's a lot of places where the Falcons are pretty stacked, and there's guys going to be there.